Hi, welcome to another Expert Insights discussion. With recent articles about group business finally starting to fill hotel rooms, we thought it might be interesting to discuss how increased groups and meetings business might impact hotels, especially when you consider the ongoing staff shortage and the challenge faced in trying to respond to more group inquiries, and why understanding how revenue management applies in relation to group business is ever more important, especially when trying to balance group business against individual bookings and identifying the most profitable mix. So we have recorded a two-video series where we look at the importance of hotel meetings revenue. Joining us on these videos are Peter from Get Into More and Mark of Please Ask Em. Today in video one, we specifically look at why hotels might not focus on meetings revenue as much as they should, and what are some of the barriers when trying to embrace meetings revenue management. Hey guys, thanks for joining us today. I'll get some intros from both of you in a minute to kind of set the scene as to why you're here on this conversation. But just to sort of frame what we're going to talk about and where it sits. Now, obviously, the focus is going to be about meetings, hotel meetings revenue, and that will become clear when you guys introduce yourself why you are here. But the reason we got into this is because there's been a lot of talk lately about total revenue management. And I guess what always interests me is how the industry talks about TRM, but without seeming to fully embrace revenue management and technology within the hotel meetings side of things. Now, obviously, with COVID, we know that the hotel meeting space has had some challenges as we've come out of those, out of the pandemic. Some of those challenges have existed. There are still some external pressures, but also there are internal pressures. And I guess that's what we want to dig into today and get your guys' perspective on it. So, before we get started, let's just get you both to introduce yourselves and kind of position why we've got you here on this conversation. So, Peter, if I can come to you first and you could just give us a brief intro, that would be great.
Cool, thanks. I'll keep it short for everyone. Thanks for hosting us. My name is Peter. I'm with the Get Into More. Get Into More is a tool that was designed actually to make much more money out of the meeting and events as part of being the total revenue management. We have designed this tool to be a really hands-on tool for all sorts of levels of people that work with the tool. And we have set up some integrations so that it's easy to work with, easy to get the data and have full understanding of your potential of your revenue streams within the meeting and events industry.
Perfect. Brilliant. Very good. And Mark, over to you if I can.
Yeah, thanks. So I'm Mark. I'm the CEO of Please Ask Em. We are a company that automates the sales and meeting and events cycle, which is still a very manual process by entering data into your reservation system and typing quotas back to your customers. We automate that and make the process much more efficient without losing control of the process and being able to add some additional human touch in there.
A big factor, automation, but not losing control.
Exactly.
Perfect. Well, let's kind of kick this off with maybe some broad discussion to get going, and then we can narrow down into some finer bits. So, assuming we're talking here not about necessarily, well, we may touch on it, but the emphasis of this conversation is not just to dedicated meeting and events venue. This is also for hotels that have meeting space. So let me just ask you both a broad general question, and either of you can just jump in and answer it. From your experience, where do you think hoteliers position meeting revenue in terms of importance to the hotel? Both of you smiling, so who wants to take this on?
so Mark, you want to go first?
No, you go first.
Okay,
you go
all
first.
Right, cool. Well, I think that indeed, it's one of those revenue streams that are likely, they are important. And I mean, they are seen as important because obviously you can see it in the figures. But then when it comes to really giving the right attention to it, I think there is a big difference between what is actually coming in and what sort of analytics and what sort of importance we are these hotels are putting into the whole meeting and events part, and especially when it comes down to the automation part of it. It's still very much the old way of working, not only on the practicalities like, you know, the DDRs and the packages and you name it. So in that respect, there's a big difference how we tackle and how we budget, for instance, everything that's related to room revenue, and then in vice versa versus when it comes to actually other revenue streams, being F&B and meeting and event being part of it. So there is a discrepancy between how we see the figures and how we act upon these figures.
Understood. And Mark, what's your take on it?
Yeah, well, what we see and notice in the market, there are two kind of groups of hoteliers we see here. So we have those like more conference hotel locations. They put really serious effort into their meeting and events departments because it's a big part of their revenue stream, for instance. Mm-hmm. We often speak to hoteliers with maybe 1, 2, 3, maybe 4 meeting rooms. Uh-huh. It always feels like a little bit, yeah, we have it. It's something like an on the side job. Okay, yeah, we have it, but it's not that important. And I think in the mindset of most hoteliers, I think they neglect to get extra revenues out of that service, because in the end, it's still a big part of your venue, because usually these rooms take some space, including foyers, etc. But in my previous role as hotelier and commercial director, I often had conversations, you know, if we were not sold out for the hotel rooms on a specific day, we were kind of in trouble. But I never had those conversations on meeting rooms, you know. That if we're not sold out on meeting rooms on specific days, you know, That wasn't really a trap. And that's where you see that it's more like an on the side job, and that translates itself into, you know, all the things also Peter is telling, you know, in that area, like automation, like the right systems, like the right analytics. It's still, we did an analysis. We say it's almost 20 years behind compared to hotel room sales. And, yeah. That's to do with focus.
It's a long time, 20 years. It's a generation. It's a long. And I think if you see the jumps that we've done with hotel rooms, we go from like nothing, like an Excel sheet, to an AI steered machine that just gives us, pops up the rates. Where, and with meeting rooms, we're still checking the comm set with fake request to see what their DDR is. Yeah. I mean, and then we think, oh, we found out that the right way, and we're really proud of that in a way. I mean, without minimalizing what the hotels are doing, but it's a fact. And it's very confronting.
What do you think then? I mean, let's touch on those, on some of those reasons behind it then. Are they genuine reasons? That may be rephrasing that wrong, because everyone would think they're genuine reasons. Is it more about perception than reality, or is it that we've always done things this particular way? What do you think are the some of the barriers, and then we'll get into what maybe are some solutions. What do you think are some of the barriers as to why there are these? It's just not taken as seriously.
I think you're right. There's a couple of things. I think the first is the complexity. You know, with rooms, it's sort of straightforward what you can do for a particular room and what you can ask for these hotel rooms. Whereas with the meeting and events or other revenue streams, there's a lot of factors that you have to take in consideration. So the people that work within these departments, they have a lot on their plate, and because they have so much. A lot on the plate, they're actually working practically, operationally, and maybe losing a bit sight of what is possible to do differently. And it's not that they're not open for it. There's a genuine way of believing that the work they do is correct, and that finding something else to work is, they're hesitant about it. I think we did it also with hotel rooms, right? We were hesitant about AI in giving rate recommendations. And because there's the complexity is there for the setup, you name it, the whole list that is there for meeting an event. The buy-in is not as easy as with hotel rooms. The convince level is high.
Okay. Yeah. No, well,
on top of that, I think what is a big difference is that when you look at things like contribution margin or profit you gain from meeting rooms or food and beverage, often in general, you know, the margins are really slim compared to hotel rooms. And the cost of sale are quite high. Hotel rooms these days, you know, are booked within 2 seconds if you have a good distribution network and your system landscape up and running. But when you look for meeting and events, it's always gone by email. Somebody has to look at it, process manually. So also the time of sale and the effort of and the resources you need to create a sale, it's a lot of effort. But then the execution as well. When a hotel guest arrives, you know, you need a check-in. These days you have online check-in and automated check-ins, etc. Furthermore, cost of sale of a hotel room is quite easy. You have your housekeeping cost and some additional amenity cost there. But for a meeting room, often you need a day in advance to set it up. You need some additional F&B in there. You need the kitchen to be prepared for the lunch. So there's a lot of effort there, which takes the margins very slim. And that's why it maybe slipped over the last decades, maybe the minds of the hoteliers. And I think that this part of the industry, you know, automation should be very welcome because the margins are so slim. The more efficient you can make it, or the better data-driven decisions you can make by tools like Peter, you know, can really help you to get bigger margins there and work more efficiently.
I get the fact there's a complexity, but it does feel as though everything else has moved on, but this is still lagging behind. And it would appear that that adoption of technology, which has always been slower in the hotel industry, is potentially even slower when it comes to hotels and meeting space. Would that be fair?
I think you can say definitely that. And this kind of complexity is what we talk ourselves into as hoteliers as well. True, there are a lot of variables in regards to different meeting and events, but still a majority is still quite straightforward and still can be automated. And also, if you compare that to hotel rooms, you know, having a guest staying there for 2 nights for a business trip, for instance, compared to a group staying there for 4 nights with different room blocks and different F&B requirements during the day, it's also different, and you have the same differences within meetings compared to simple smaller meetings or to complex multi-day conference events. But we like to talk ourselves into that complexity because of the amount of variables. And I think if you really look at it in an objective way, I don't think it's that complex in the end.
Peter?
No, I agree. And I think also what you say about the complexity, indeed, there's a big difference between small meetings, big meetings. And we have, on the hotel room side, we sort of educated our guests as well how to do business with us, you know, to book on a simple way. And I think we can educate also our guests in a way with how we would handle these group reservations or requests, because making them like mega complex with I don't know how things, how many things we sometimes offer in our offers. Whereas if you tone it down or have like a very lean offer with, you know, links in it that can be open whenever is needed, people need the basics, and the basics can we can do, you know, through an offer, and that we can do, and then on site we can do the complexity when things are needed.
Well, that makes sense. And it just quickly as well, just as an aside, I want to talk in a minute about how maybe the meetings have changed as we've come out of COVID, and what pressures that might bring to bear that could help continue the "oh, it's too complicated" rationale. But before we do, I guess one of the elements I've always questioned is when you've got investors, owners, just, you know, the GM running the property, there is a pretty well-known set of metrics that apply to rooms. We know the KPIs, we know the reports that are out there. Is there an argument to say that, not that it holds it back, but it maybe doesn't have quite the same level of profile, because you can't look and say, "Oh, my competitors have got X amount of revenue per square meter of meeting space" or something. Mm-hmm. And if those comparables were there, or there was some kind of metrics there that a leader at least allowed some comparison, whether it be internally or externally, do you think that would help or have any value at all?
Yeah, I truly believe that would help in a way, you know, to understand the performance of your property and your meeting and events. Mm-hmm. You know, if there's room to improve, or maybe are ahead of your competition set. And I've looked at this in the past, you know, to set up like benchmarking reports with different kind of organizations in the past as well. And the complexity always starts already with what can you assign to meeting revenue. You know, that's the first part, because, for instance, you know, if I need a microphone, yeah, one property has the microphone in home, and the other one has to rent it as well for external company. Mm-hmm. Yeah, is it then fair to address that as your meeting revenue or not? Same goes for F&B. What do you do with the drinks afterwards, which are not taking place in the meeting area, but in a bar and a restaurant? Isn't it their revenue? Mm-hmm. So always these discussions of what is allowed and what is not allowed, it's very hard. And the same goes for occupancy. Do you calculate by day part? What do you do with breakout rooms? What do you do with breakout rooms that are sold twice a day, etc., etc.? So for some reason, we never managed to find a common ground on the input for these metrics. And that's still very interesting to have in the end, because that can really tell, you know, if it's a good contribution compared to your competitors.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah.
Peter?
Yeah, and I think indeed, I mean, that would be like the ultimate goal, right? If you would have like a benchmark about your banqueting or your performance on F&B, like we have had them now for years when it comes to rooms. What we've seen with the hotel groups that we work with that have, you know, KPIs for their other revenue streams than rooms, so for instance, meeting and events, F&B, if they are a KPI, the good thing about that one, that is actually also attributed to the people that work within these KPIs, is that the awareness of the revenue is really coming forward, and not only looking at, you know, 80% of the revenue or 70% is coming from rooms and the other 30% is sort of distributed over a couple of other streams. But if it's really there, like, okay, M&E, this is our target for this quarter, we've realized this one, you're off or you're over for that percentage versus room. I think the awareness of the importance of these streams should be a part of the whole hotel team as such, and should be shared with the whole hotel team as such. And we can see that young leaders that have had a more, say, I wouldn't say flexible background, but that have been in all sorts of career paths within the hotel industry and know what's happening within F&B, M&E, and so forth, they are far more open, because they realize, you know, I've worked in these departments and they know how they should be getting their revenues together. And using it as KPIs internally is the first step in order to the awareness of these other revenue streams.
Yeah, that makes sense. And looking at how the world changed and has continued from a meeting, I know in previous conversations we've had, you've spoken about how the bigger meetings are still coming back, but the main driver seemed to be smaller meetings. I think, Mark, when we were talking about this, you also said there's a, those who are looking for meetings seem to be taking kind of a blanket approach, and so you have multiple hotels are getting the same requirements. So to me, this seems like a bit of a challenge going on here, where on one hand, to your point, Peter, about from a revenue management point of view, you know, you want to have meetings. You might be getting requirements coming in when you're already booked up, and then you've got need, you know, there are times during the course of the month or year to come where you've got space that you'd like to be filling up. So balancing that, you know, basic revenue management, balancing what we need against sales. And then you've got a multitude of more requests coming in, but how do we know, how do we respond to those requests? How do we handle that urgency to reply, but also making sure it doesn't look robotic and just a standard non-differentiated proposal? How do we know it's a quality proposal to respond to? I mean, what are you guys, before we talk about some things they could do, what are you guys seeing in and around the pressure the change has brought to bear on that meeting space and the pressure for hotels to respond?
I think there's a lot of pressure if we see after COVID and that whole pent up demand, as they call it. We thought it would sort of, you know, ease out or phase out in the last year, but it hasn't. Still, if we see, or if we speak to hotels in, especially in main European cities, but also in secondary cities, requests are just coming in, and maybe the qualification is, you know, or they're not as qualified as they used to be. But there's loads of them, and we can tell that the way that we are working to make these offers with the PMS systems that we're having, it's a bit of a legacy. Well, it's a legacy from a legacy. So we have too many things that are coming in, and then we have a system that really does it that's not fit for the year 2023 post-COVID, with a multitude, like a tsunami of requests coming in. And I can tell that the people that I've spoken with over the last couple of months, they are really wondering, you know, how can we do? And they are working around it, but they're not finding the right solution for the moment.
Mm-hmm. Mark?
No, that's absolutely true what Peter says. And not only for the, you know, like the systems for that matter, but properties also need to think about their offerings and the way they present their offerings. You know, the whole world is talking about sustainability, more vegetarian, different kind of food styles, etc., etc. But the first thing we do as hoteliers, at least I know some of them, is to offer 20 more packages, you know, with all kinds of solutions. Yeah. Which takes more effort, you know, to create a proposal, to set it up, but also, you know, to get the right message to the customer. Yeah. So in not only in sense of technology, but also in sense of the way we look at our offerings, we have to give it a thought and step up to the game of 2023, because like this, we keep saying we're 20 years behind.
Yeah, that makes sense. And so, Peter, if I could come to you, how do hotels do it? You know, if we've got this, you know, we know how to price our rooms because we can see what the demand is, and we price our rooms differently based on where we want to improve, the bookings. How do they do that within the meeting space?
So, well, if you have a bit of an advanced Excel sheet, for instance, you would know when there is demand coming in. You know, you could pull some data out of your PMSs to see when are these requests coming in. You know, of course, then the first rule is that all these requests should be going into the system so you can actually look at total demand. So I think there we already lose quite some interesting information because there's just too many of these requests coming in. And on top of that, there's not enough staff most of the time. I think we'll get to that in a later as well. So there is a lot of gut feeling that is floating around now of making decisions, taking which group or not, you know, is it depends on, is there rooms attached to it or not? There is experience about, you know, guests that have been with us before. So there's a commercial side to it. So gut feeling, commercial side, those are the main factors currently for a lot of hotels that make decisions on when or not to take a group. And then there is luckily also a part that is more a bit, you know, advanced and has some sort of tools where they can actually see lead times, average size of events, demand coming in on certain days of the week, where decisions are made actually on a very data-driven perspective instead of the gut feeling. And those are also the ones that are a little bit ahead of the game because they sometimes would decline businesses that you usually say, are you crazy? Why would you decline it? Because it's such a, you know, good customer, it's been with us forever, it's a good pattern and so forth. But you know, waiting for the right business to come in is something that because of all the complexity and all the stuff that we need to simplify taking a request, yes or no, we lose out on opportunities and get stuck in our old routines.
And how much is the revenue management team involved with meeting sales in terms of, okay, aligning, because if you suddenly had a request for a meeting that was going to take up rooms and you haven't got rooms but you could maybe shift the day, you know, you want to try and get that balance right so they mesh together, don't they? To what degree is that interwoven? Well, I hope that conversation was of interest, and thanks again to Peter and Mark for joining us. If you have any thoughts or views on this discussion, please feel free to reach out, and you can contact us via our social channels, or you can email us via insights@revenue-hub.com. If you like what we're producing, please do subscribe through the podcast channel you're listening to. And if you want to see the interview, you can find it on the Revenue Hub YouTube channel, and the link is in the podcast notes. Anyway, until next time, thanks for listening.